Lord, I thank you for today that we can come into your presence, Lord, and hear from your word, be encouraged by others in our congregation, if it's from a little child or if it's from an adult. Lord, just be encouraged that you are great and you are mighty and you're worth standing up for. Lord, I thank you that we know who you are and we're learning more about who you are. Lord, I thank you for loving us tremendously and giving us a hope and a future that we can share with other people. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. If you'd like to stand with me, we're going to be in Philippians 4, 15 through 19 today. I have the title of this is Affirmation of Our Sacrifice. Going along with the idea of this affirmation, of what we talk about today, the affirmation of sacrificing in our lives will affirm our salvation and our relationship with the Lord. Verse 15, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have abundance. I'm amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in his glory in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. There's a couple truths that step out in this passage, that giving blesses the giver. God will supply all needs in Christ. And giving a sacrifice shows our character of Christ inside the person. But before we get into this passage today, a little reflection on last week. Did you take one of your struggles that you deal with and take them to God this week? Did you take your one struggle that you might be dealing with and take it to him and see how he wants to show you his power and how he wants you to be able to overcome through his strength in the midst of that struggle? I hope you did this week, because that is... It's pivotal in our relationships when we take something that God, we struggle with, and God shows you how he overcomes it in our lives. Not how we adapt it and make ourselves a little bit better in that situation, but how God actually shows us how we can overcome and frees us from it. You know, there's a time when I was in college, and when I would do a fast, and it was with candy, because I love candy. Still like candy. Really good candy is pretty good. Had some good candy last night. But anyways, I'd have this like a Snicker bar. I loved Snickers back then. I'd have a Snicker bar sitting right there, and man, I wanted it so badly. And I could not resist not wanting to grab right into that and take a bite. But when I'm like, Lord, I need your help. I need your help, because my struggle, even though it was a little tiny struggle, right? In a physical sense, it was a tiny struggle. But in a spiritual sense, it's a big one, because I'm doing this for Jesus. I don't want that candy bar. I'm doing it for you, Lord. But I don't have the strength to be able to hold back. I need you to release me from that desire. I need you to do that. And when I truly gave it to him, I said, okay, I really want to serve you in this. I need your help. He would cut the desire. The thing could sit there all day long. I didn't care. Not until the fast was over with. Because he gave me the strength. Without the strength, I would want it. And he taught me a lesson in my early years. If you give it to me and you call upon my name, I will show you whatever struggle you're dealing with. I will give you deliverance. And I will show you why you want it over me. Why that's your idol. But when I show you how to let go, and how to give it to me and have power in my name and who I am, resting totally in me, you will feel freedom and you will sense it and you will live in that freedom. Or you can turn back into it. So I hope that you took this week and took time to spend with him to let him show you how he can overcome whatever struggle you're dealing with. And there are deeper struggles than a candy bar desiring. But there are other ones that are deeper. But he will give strength and power in the midst of everything and anything. Well, as we come into today's passage, Paul's continuing his thoughts to the church that he wants, that he's poured into the, that the church has poured into Paul's life, and he wants them to know what the importance of what they're doing. It's not that they're just giving something to him, but he wants them to understand what you're giving and what's taking place, what's transpiring is extremely, extremely important, and he's desirous of it, and he's grateful for it. He wants them to know, yes, God is my ultimate provider. You're not, but God is. But God does a beautiful thing. He uses people to provide for him, doesn't he? Sometimes he does it on his own, and you see he just did that on his own by himself. And then sometimes you see him use other people, and he's desirous to do that, use us to bless other people in his name, that other people see, wow, you were the agent that God used to bring a blessing. And Paul wants the people to understand that, thank you, you have blessed me and have helped me live another day without wanting, without being hungry. And God is producing a beautiful character in your heart of self-sacrifice for somebody else. Let's read verse 15. Verse 15 says, "For you yourselves know, Philippians, that when I first preached the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica you sent a gift more than once for my needs." God is calling the people, and God, Paul sees that God is calling them to be a part of what he's doing. God's always looking out to, how can I meet the needs of somebody else, because people need me. And as I meet the needs of other people, they see how much they need me when their need is met. You might have gone through a struggle that was so magnificent that brought angst and torture in your spirit, and you realized, I'm missing something. I need something that I don't even realize. And then Jesus comes around, and he comes into your life, and he moves in such a way that he might have brought you peace. He might have melted away that angst that you have in your heart and in your mind, and you realized, wow, Jesus is the one I need. But he wants to call us to be a part of that, to help him meet the needs of others. So he desires outward focused. Right now we're in a season where we are outward focused and we're inward focused. Well, we're going to get a gift for somebody, but yet I might want a gift for myself. And there's a lot of sales going on out there. And we can say, oh, I really want that. I've needed that. I want this. And we can start to see the I wants. And that's okay if you need it, right? Then we can get really selfish and I want more and I want more. But God wants us to be outward focused, where we're, yeah, I might need that, I might want that, but I'm not going to get that because I might sacrifice that for somebody else. So he wants us to be outward focused, and God's character is to serve and help other people. So you might be not even sacrificing just finances, but you might be sacrificing your time, your energy, your abilities to help with somebody else. And one of the things that I'm preparing for this message here, that the Lord, and I think this hits us all at home, the self-sacrifice and looking outward. You know, we're oftentimes, there's different parts of the day we're tired, right? It's usually during those tired moments that people say, hey, I need your help with something. Can you get this for me? Sometimes people are just demanding. I want you to do this. In all of those situations, you got to sit back and look and say, okay, you know, it's a little bit of me time right now. I'm tired. I need a break. But God meets us and says, what are you going to do with this moment? Are you going to look outwardly and meet the need of somebody else because I've given you the abilities to be able to do that? I know you're tired, but will you call on my strength to be able to meet the needs of that person and serve them? Something that maybe in preparation for this message that just was amplified this week. Just like need, a need, and a need, and a need. And in my mind, it's like, okay, God, how can I meet this need? God, I need you to help me meet this need. And it ends up being beautiful. But it's when we push it off and we become inward focused, then we have to question, Lord, am I walking with you in daily life right now in the little things to meet other people's needs, to serve as you serve? And when you think of God's character, he is God supreme sitting on the throne, but he's also the magnificent server. He serves us as a king. The one who's knelt down and washed the disciples' feet says, this is who I am. This is how I expect you to be. No different. This is my character, what I want to produce in you that sin has corrupted and pulled away and made you, it twists everything, and it makes us want to be selfish and desires for our own things. But Paul sees that they're giving, they're wanting to give, and they're helping somebody else. They are serving just like Jesus. Because in the previous verse, they didn't have much. Kind of reminds me of our church at times, doesn't it? We didn't have much, and then we were given more. And then we didn't have much, and then we were given more. And it's very important for us to be able to hold that with open hands and not to hoard it and be inward focused, but to be outward focused and to be responsible. And Paul's excited about that because he sees those characteristics being built. Because God has built us with a moral responsibility to help other people. Garden of Eden in Genesis 2:5 says, no shrub, no field was yet in the earth, and no plant in the field was yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon it, and there was no man to cultivate it. So God created, he created the world and said, you know what, man has a job, and he's going to take care of, he's going to be responsible, he's going to take care of the land that I have given. He's going to cultivate it. He's going to produce. He's going to work. It's going to be good. He's going to enjoy it. Because I'm going to be there with him, walking in the garden with him, talking with him as they're doing those things. That's what I picture. He's also a care for this. He also in Genesis 2:18, it wasn't just for man, but it was also for woman as well. And the Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone, so I'll make him a helper suitable for him. Somebody who's going to help him do this, work side by side, together, being responsible for the creation that he's made. But not only creation, it was care for humanity. In Genesis 4:9, the Lord said to Cain, where's Abel, your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? I mean, come on, God. I got enough to worry about. I have to worry about them too. And we know the story. He kills his brother. And he's lying to God. I don't know. Like God's not going to see the creator of the universe? But yes, the answer is yes, I am my brother's keeper. If somebody's in need, I am to be outward focused, out looking to see who is in need, to be ready to be used if God has a purpose for using me or making a connection to be able to help. Like the families that come, and if somebody brings somebody to you this week, they need help. They're in need. Meet their need. Bring that to the church, so that we can join in and be outward focused and serve others, to let them know we're helping you because Jesus loves you and brought you to us. I can only do that and be watchful for that if my eyes are open for others, to be ready to be servants, to be ready to watch to see where there's a need. That's the only way that's going to happen, or I'm going to miss it. God's going to show me somebody and I'm going to be too self-focused, too busy with the day, too busy with things I need to do, too busy with shopping, too busy with getting things together for the holidays, too busy, too busy, too busy, and I'm going to miss his leading. And I know for those who love Jesus, we'll sit back and we'll say, God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Help me not to do that again. And he will. I'm moving over here. I want you to come and talk to this person. You know, like Elisha did. God wells up in his spirit. I can't just keep my mouth shut. I got to speak the truth. And he shares the truth with the young lady. That's a way of serving. Serving God by sharing the truth. So a question that we have for ourselves, how often do we give an excuse to help somebody because we don't want to make the sacrifice to serve and to help? There might be check marks in your mind. Yeah, I remember that one. I remember that one. I remember that one. Or no, but I helped there. And when I think about the times when we help, is there a time that we can say no to God, I don't want to help anymore? I don't think so. I don't think there's a time where I can say, God, no, I've done enough. Because he's either showing or teaching us something. I want to use you because I have created you for this purpose, to meet the person's need, because they're going to talk to you about this issue in their life, and you know how to minister to that issue because I've already brought you through that, and you're going to be able to tell them how you found freedom because you took your struggle to him and he showed you freedom. He brought you deliverance out of that. And then you're going to share that with somebody else when he gives you the opportunity. Then you might be totally tired, ready to give up. But, God, I need your help. I need you to give me strength. And what does he do? He blows new strength into us. That's what he does. And we walk in faith in this. God, I believe that you are a God who is miraculous. I'm tired. I need you to give me extra strength. And if I don't believe he's going to do it, am I going to receive it? I don't think so. Because in Hebrews, it says you've got to believe that he's God and he exists. And if I believe he exists and I call to him and ask him, he's going to provide for his good pleasure. So we're to care for humanity, care for each other, and not to be giving excuses why I don't need to. In Philippians 4:17, Paul says, "For I'm not seeking for the gift, but I'm seeking for the fruit to increase, to abound, for abundance, to superabound." And in the Greek it says, "For in your all's word," and we see in our English is "to your account." So he's looking for, not for these gifts, as their pastor, overseer, the one who started the church in Philippi, one who's continuing encouraging the church. He's not looking for the gift. He's looking for the monetary gift, the physical gift. He's looking for the spiritual gift to be growing in them, that God is going to bless into their account. That's what's more important, isn't it? Not that we can attain here on this earth, but what God says he wants to give us, the deeper truths, the deeper sacrifice in our spirit, where we become more like him and his character becomes more amplified in our lives because he's living out more and more. We learn, I need you, God, in this, and I need you in this, and I need you in this, and I'm calling out to you in this because I need your help. And his character starts to bloom in our lives, doesn't it? Because he gives us his power through his spirit to make that take place. He produces his character in us. You know, the evidence of our relationship with God is that the more that we become like him, the more that we see his character being built up in us, that sacrificial giving, that outward is full of compassion. You see this, the love of Jesus start to come forth. In Matthew 6:19, talks about a good eye and a bad eye. And the parable that Jesus gives us, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on heaven where moth and rust destroy and the thieves break in and steal, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break or in or steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will also be." And here's the verse I want us to really focus on, these next two. The eye of the lamp of the body, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Then in verse 24, you can't serve two masters, for you'll hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other, because you can't serve God and wealth. Before and after, Jesus is talking about money in passages right before that and right afterwards. Because in the end result, you're either going to serve one or two masters. But also your life is going to be either a good eye or a bad eye, one that's clear or one that's not. And this is an idiomatic expression in Hebrew that the good eye, the clear eye, is a heart that is giving. It's a giving heart. Heart that doesn't hold back. It's not going to hold back the riches of wealth and say, this is mine, I'm going to keep it, because that's not how God is. God is a blesser that pours upon blessings. We read in in the Psalms that he just pours and rains down blessings. That's how God is. That's how he wants his children to be like. Because the more he raises up within our spirit and we surrender to him, the more we allow him to be a blesser and a giver. The bad eye is one that just holds everything back. So when you read that passage and you the body, your eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear, if your heart is willing to give, your whole body will be full of light. The light of Jesus pouring from us. That heart is a heart that trusts God. Like the church in Philippi, we have a little bit of extra, Paul, we're going to give it to you. We give it to you, we sacrifice this for you, now we don't have what we had before, and we might not have any left. But they're trusting God, he's going to provide the next. If he provided last week, well, guess what? He's maybe going to provide the same way this week, or maybe a little bit differently. But I'm going to look to him for it, but I'm not going to hold back either. When we hold back, we actually close our relationship off with God. We say, no, God, you can't be the Lord I am. I know what's better. I know that I need to keep this $100 right here for the rainy day, and you can't take it away from me. I'm serving money now. That's not a child of God. One who serves the king, I'm telling the master to serve me. It's very important that we really get this today. Because our church is at the bottom right now, isn't it? We're at the bare bones, and it's a good thing. It's a really good thing. Because now we can look and see what God wants to continue to grow in us. He wants us to say, trust me now. If I've given you the 100, hold it out and let me tell you what to do with it. If I tell you to give it, give it, and I'll show you the blessing. Somebody might come to know who I am because of it. Is it worth it? Or was it worth putting this over here and not giving that person an opportunity to know Jesus? I was talking to a gentleman this week that has a different view of life than what I have. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for all the sins of the world. He came for every single person. Every part of every one of his creation is beautiful to him, desirous to know him. He wants everybody to know who he is. So I live my life wanting to let people know who Jesus is, because he desires every single person. Because I know he even loves those who are my enemies, it's easy to love them. Because he loves them. Only God can do that in the heart of a person. But the gentleman that I was speaking with has a different view of life, where God chooses who he wants and he rejects those who he doesn't want. And it's an absolute foreign concept to my thinking and my understanding of what Scripture says. But because I can look and see that God desires everybody, that I can look at this Scripture and he says, don't serve man, don't serve money, because I'm giving opportunity for other people to know who I am. It makes you more outward focused, doesn't it? You don't want to miss anybody. You don't want to overlook somebody that God wants might be ministering to. The heart of God is desires for everybody and everyone to know who he is. So maybe God has blessed you personally with finances, with abilities, with intelligence. Have you asked him how he wants you to use it to bless others? That's what my son is doing now, questioning, Lord. One of the amazing things that he said the other day was, I have a lot of ambitions, and passions. Like, where'd you want to learn that word? Dad, I have a lot of ambitions and passions, but I'm willing to put those off if God wants me to learn more about creation, to become a scientist. I'm going, wow, Lord, you're doing a work in my son's life. I'm excited to watch and see how this works, because he's willing to push off his own passions to serve God in any way he wants. That's what God wants from each and every one of us. Are we willing to push off our inward-focused life to outwardly focus on others, because that's important? He sees it's important that that young lady knows the truth, and there's other people like her out there. That's the work of God in the life of a person. Let's go to verse 18. But I have received everything full in abundance, and I'm amply supplied, and have received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in the glory of Jesus Christ. The heart of sacrifice is God first and foremost, and then others are second. Mark 12:30 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And in verse 31, the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. These two commandments are so interlinked, because in 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. You love God, you are going to love other people, because God loves other people. He doesn't put limitations and he doesn't put parameters. That's why the conversation that I had with the gentleman was very sad from my perspective looking on to him, because he put parameters in perspective, put a circle around God limiting who he would want to love. Instead of putting the responsibility on each one of us of if we reject him or not, and desirous of him or not, desirous to walk with him or not, puts all responsibility on God making the choice for us what we do and what we don't do. But God is love. He doesn't put parameters on. He says, everyone is welcome, all who want to come. I'm ready to receive you. Turn to me and come. Sacrifice entails love. And Jesus sacrificed himself to the obedience to the Father in Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God to be something to be grasped or something to be taken away from the Father. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance of as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. If my Jesus did this, he's calling each one of us who call him Master and King to do the same, to come to a point where we are no longer seeking after for ourselves. Ready to serve and to give, to serve and to give. And friends, that is a moment-by-moment conversation with God. Because my flesh wants to rise up and say, that's enough, doesn't it? But when we turn to the flesh and say, no, I don't serve you any longer. You're not my master. Jesus is, Lord, help me to be surrendered to you. Help me to be following you. Help me, Lord, just help me to focus on you, that I don't hear the voice of my flesh saying, that's enough. Serve yourself a little bit here. One thing that I have found out in life is that when I follow God, because he said, come here, and it might be something that I'm, man, that'd be really nice. I could do this over here and get it. And he says, no, I don't want you to get it, not now. And if I listen to him and I follow him, when he blesses with the thing he told me to give up, when you receive it, is an amazing, it's amazing. It's so much more appreciated. It's so much more special, and it could be something so tiny and so small, or it could be something very big. But when you know it's from God, because He's a blesser, sometimes He blesses in ways that from sacrificing for Him. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God, beloved children. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us as an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." I think this week, what the theme that God is sharing with us is: be open, be a sacrifice for Me, for others. Don't hold back. Keep open. Let Me give you the power and the strength to survive when you're tired. To give. And let Me show you what I'm going to do in your life and how you're going to be walking with Me to touch other people's lives. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing in this month of December? To be used in such a way that God shows us you just touched that person's life. Because you were able to connect them maybe with somebody else that could help. Maybe He gives you a little bit extra and you can help. Maybe you invite them to church and it's the first time that they've actually sat in church. Maybe the first time somebody ever invited them. You just reached out and cared because you've listened to God's voice and didn't. Maybe you go shopping. You wanted to shop by yourself and God says, invite that person to come with you. Maybe they needed somebody to go shopping with. So in conclusion, as we close, share with others as God directs you to share with what He's given to you. The heart of giving expresses your relationship with God. And a heart that wants to put Jesus first, God first, and then people second. As we apply this to our lives this week, ask the Lord what He wants you to do with your blessings that He gives you and share them with others. How? Church of Philippi said, we're going to give it to you, Paul. We're not going to keep it. We're not going to give it to somebody else. We love you, Paul, and we give to you. We sacrifice for you. Who is that for you in your life? Maybe it's somebody you know. Maybe it's somebody you don't know. Maybe it's somebody you're going to meet. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for the church of Philippi and how they sacrificially gave to Paul out of their need. They weren't a wealthy place, but Lord, they gave because they cared about Paul. And Paul understood that You were his provider ultimately, Lord, and You used them to provide for him. And he was grateful, but even more so grateful for the spiritual blessings, the transformation of the church's heart, where they didn't have to give, but they did. Because of their relationship, You were changing their hearts to be sacrificial, to be givers. Lord, only You can do that in the ways that we can do it for You. Lord, help us to be givers, be sacrificial, especially during this time. Lord, You gave us the greatest gift, Your Son, life eternally. Lord, may we freely give as You have freely given to us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.